This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. In a sweet tea-colored swamp in Bladen County, North Carolina, there's a group of trees that has intrigued researchers for decades. The bald cypress trees are old, really old. A new study revealed that one of these trees is at least 2,624 years old, which means it's been around since before the start of the Roman Empire. The tree's remarkable age means they can tell us a lot about our own history. For instance, what the climate was like a couple of thousand years ago. David Staley is a professor in the Department of Geosciences at the University of Arkansas and the lead investigator on the study published in the journal Environmental Research Communications. Dave, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
First, will you describe the swamp for us, will you? Where is it and what's it look like?
Well, it's the Black River, North Carolina. It's one of the great natural areas left in eastern North America, about a 60-mile-long stream with, as you say, sweet tea-colored water flowing braided through the forested wetlands with white sand beneath these columnar trees of incredible age.
It's a fairly unique ecosystem, is it not?
Well, it is. I mean, it's the bald cypress, bottomland hardwood, wetlands of the southeastern United States, and these trees are exceptionally old. Bald cypress gets old everywhere we find it, but nothing like 2,000 years old. So the discovery of these super ancient trees is really remarkable.
Now, how did you home in on these? As you say, there are bald cypresses around. We know they get old. They kind of start looking alike, at least to me. Are you able to home in on a set of trees that might be the oldest?
Well, old trees don't hide their age well. They're kind of like humans in that respect. But if you study them as a dendrochronologist, as we do, you get to learning the clues of antiquity in their external appearance. We refer to that broadly as gnarl factor. So they have the heavy, the massive stem, the heavy limbs in the canopy, the often broken limbs in the canopy, the occasional hollow void, and so on and so forth, that we use to kind of roughly age classify the trees. Then, of course, we take the core samples non-destructively. They're only about the size of a pencil. We don't harm the trees. And we take these core samples, and then we can determine their age with tree ring dating, dendrochronology, the most accurate and precise dating method in all of geochronology.
So a 2,600, yeah, I mean, you said it's a pencil-like core sample that you take. It's hard to imagine hurting a 2,600-year-old tree. It's been through a lot, right?
Right, including a succession of landfalling hurricanes in the near coastal southeastern North Carolina. I mean, so if you're not able to withstand heavy wind forcing and the loss of branches in your canopy, the loss of significant leaf cover and photosynthetic capacity, sometimes even the entire loss of the canopy, if you can't tolerate that and re-sprout new leaves, new branches, new canopy, you're not going to make it for millennia, as these trees have. So it's part of their remarkable ability to tolerate these high wind force environments.
Well, tell us more about the bald cypress and not only its ability to withstand that, but its nutritional needs, because I'm guessing they're able to withstand scarcity as well. Tell us more about what it takes to keep a bald cypress alive.
Well, that's really one of the clues, we think, to their great antiquity, is that Black River flows through coastal plain sands, heavily leached over eons of geologic time. So the water is relatively nutrient poor and relatively on the acid side. And so really very few competing plants, trees especially, can tolerate the frequently flooded, low nutrient conditions of Black River. But bald cypress and water tupelo thrive there. They grow exceptionally slowly, and they achieve remarkable age.
So maybe that's part of their success, too, right? Not a lot of competition. Nobody wants to live there, so we've got it all to ourselves.
Yeah, and when you visit the Black River, and of course it's open to the public, so it's a canoe or kayak trip through time, through one of the most remarkable places left in the East, you know, you see this. You see the great antiquity of these trees. And it's an open stand relatively open because there's areas of deeper water where they can't germinate through the braided stream. And so you can see through the forest and you can see the, in some cases, the full architecture of these super old trees.
Now, what is it like to find a stand of these trees? And you've identified one that we say is 2,624 years old. Is the one next to it, 2,623 years old? Or how does that go? How do you find the oldest one?
Well, we think the guy next to it is actually older, but he's partly hollow, so we can't prove that. But the old guy, which is just, we've cored exactly 404 trees in my entire research experience at Black River, North Carolina. There are tens of thousands of trees along the 60-mile river, many of them over 1,000 years old, some over 2,000, as we've now finally proven, and we think probably some are over 3,000 years old. So they kind of looked apart. They acquire these gnarl characteristics, and they look old. And we've seen trees at Black River that look a lot older than the oldest one that we have so far proven at 2624.
And this business of showing your age, I mean, maybe to the uninitiated and the unskilled, this tree might look dead, right?
Well, it's not dead. In the dead of winter, bald cypress is a deciduous conifer, so they do kind of look dead because they're barren of leaves. But come spring, you get this growth of this beautiful light green-colored foliage that matures into summer into a kind of a dark green, beautiful leaves. And then by fall, they turn a rusty color brown, finally falling off into winter. So they're definitely not dead. They're doing fine, remarkably.
It's surprising to me. I mean, I guess I would have thought that the ecosystem and the environment in that area would have changed dramatically over the past 2,000 or 3,000 years, enough so that one species wouldn't be able to make it, even if it had the wherewithal. But apparently it didn't change enough to chase the bald cypress out.
It's been pretty stable. Of course, the big change was with, colonization and with human activity. And you're right, bald cypress is a very valuable timber-producing species. It was unmercifully cut in historical times across its native range in the southeastern United States. Way less than 1% of the original virgin bald cypress forests are left in the southeastern United States. And those that are left are protected by the Audubon Society, Four Hole Swamp, Francis Beidler Forest Sanctuary in South Carolina, and by nature conservancy preserves such as Black River, North Carolina, but they are relatively few. And so the discovery of this huge population of 1,000-year-old, even over 2,000-year-old bald cypress trees at Black River is really an amazing discovery.
And what do they tell us? You've got core samples. What can we learn from those?
Well, of course, dendrochronology is the most accurate and precise dating method. In geochronology, we can date the annual growth rings to the exact calendar year in which they form. That's important because we then core lots of trees. We massively replicate the chronology of tree growth. We can compare it with instrumental records of rainfall, growing season rainfall during the modern era of meteorological observation. We can develop a calibration equation that we use to estimate what growing season precipitation would have been like in the past based only on the tree ring data. And those tree ring reconstructions of precipitation can be validated against independent instrumental observations in the 19th century, against historical documentary accounts, and they tell us about the history of drought and wet years lasting 1 to 10 to 30 to 50 years over southeastern North Carolina.
I don't suppose it could shed any light on what happened to the lost colony, though, huh?
Well, of course it has. I mean, the height of our fame came with the publication of our article titled "The Lost Colony and Jamestown Drought," 1998 Science Magazine, made the front page of the New York Times. It was a slow news day in New York back then, but nevertheless, it did create some interest. And the tree rings are telling us that these first English attempts to settle in the New World at Sir Walter Raleigh's Roanoke Island colony and then later Jamestown colony were beset by drought. And the disappearance of Virginia Dare, the first English baby child born in the New World, and the disappearance of the colony, drought may have had something to do with it.
There you go. What's next in your research now, at least in the Black River?
Well, of course, we've not cored anything like a reasonable fraction of the trees. We never will. We would like to find additional old trees there, but the real resource from a scientific point of view might be the submerged and buried logs. So these ancient cypress logs trees do eventually die. The logs get rolled around on the swamp floor. Some of them sink to the bottom of the channel and congregate, if you're concentrate, you know, on the low portions of the channel, and they may rest there for millennia. Wow. And so if we can find these sources of old wood along the Black River, we can potentially date those against the living tree chronology, which is now over 2,000 years long, and improve the early portion. If they are contemporaneous, we can improve the early portion of the chronology and perhaps extend it deeper into prehistory with these relic logs.
David Staley, a professor in the Department of Geosciences at the University of Arkansas, lead investigator on a study published in the journal Environmental Research Communications. Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can find links to his research at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the intriguing story of women's soccer in Latin America. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.